going. All right, greetings, my friends. If you're joining us out in Facebook Live land, I'm in my backyard, and we got 11 acres back here. I brag about it all the time. Hundreds of oak trees. If you guys have seen Treehouse Masters, started writing plots and goals to build a treehouse back there. Average treehouse is about $200,000 to $300,000. And I want to do about $150,000 treehouse because I have always dreamt of having my business meetings up in a tree, because I read long, long ago there was an ancient king who would do his assemblies with his table, with his elders, up in a tree, and they would have chairs set up and platforms. And he liked the elevated idea of being up there. So, Alvin, good to see you. Joan, Sharisa. So, anyway, that's a little bit about the forest. Ryan, good to see you. Toby, it's great to see you. Chris as well. So, today we're going to talk about King Solomon's Prosperity Primer on how to get a divine refresh. Every time my business takes a dip, and I'm not talking about economics. I'm not talking about the actual cash dip. I'm talking about the energetic dip, the enthusiasm dip on my end, which then correlates to a leadership dip, which then spreads like a contagion and affects the affiliates and affects the staff and scatters the staff. And every time I have I am not refreshed in a divine way, and I don't feel like I'm communing with a higher purpose and a higher power, my business suffers. Not only does my business suffer, I suffer in a lack of meaning, and I feel a little bit more like I rarely feel this way, but it almost feels purposelessness. Like, what's the point of running a business, working your ass off? But when I have a divine refresh, I move with more grace. Creativity seems to jump faster. It's more elegant. I'm more people-centered. I'm more kind. I'm more patient. I'm a better man, which then translates into better messaging, better articulation, deeper levels of study. And so today what I want to do is share three things on how to get a divine refresh, how to obtain one. And these are three critical things. James Jordan, it's good to see you. So if you're on the lives, give me some love if you're ready to rock and roll. Stacy, I see you. Tim, I see you. Debbie, I see you. Just a little bit of heart or something like that if you're ready to touch this subject. All right, I like it. It's good participation. Clark, Bryce, I miss you, bro. I've been thinking of you. And this is weird, but sometimes I'm too tired to call my friends, so I just telepathically send them love messages. It's totally in my head. I don't think it actually works. But Bryce, I've been sending you telepathic thought signals of love. And it's because I miss you. I heard you got a girlfriend. I want to catch up on what that's all about. People seem to like this telepathic sending of love, so why not? Gomez in the house. But here it is. It's been working. See, it's working so much, Bryce is crying just thinking about it. All right, number one on getting a divine refresh. Here we go. Number one is you've got to believe in divinely powered prosperity. Now, here's what I mean by that. If deep in your heart you believe somewhere ethically, whether you're a God believer or not, or however, whatever you are or aren't, if you, what the heck is going on here? Jaden got me this meteorite that's older than the Earth, so that's kind of cool. If you somehow believe, ethically, or in some transcendental way, that prosperity is bad, or that prosperity is not good, or that God, in the worst case, God frowns on your prosperity, and he would rather have you just studying and praying and going off into a monkish state and praying all day or something of that nature. If you don't have a deep-seated cellular belief, not where you're telling yourself, no, prosperity is good, prosperity is good, prosperity is good, where you're self-talking to be your own authority. But if you believe deep in Psalm 35:27, and now I believe this is actually the oracles of God. I believe that these are divine words. I believe that they've been captured and treasured for us. If you're an American or even a European, our country's freedom and prosperity was in a large measure built upon this belief. And it's, may they always say, the Lord be exalted, and here's the key, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He doesn't just accept prosperity. It's not just an acceptable option. It is actually a pleasurable condition for the ultimate God, supreme creator, King of Kings, to look upon you and see you prospering, to watch you prosper. Think of anybody who has a child. If you have a kid, do a little like or a little love or something like that. And I want you to think about this. The New Testament talks about how, you know, we want good for our children. How much more could God want for us, his children? So what I want you to think about is when you have your kid and he's up to bat, or she's, you don't want her to strike out. When there's a fly ball, you don't want her to miss that ball. When there's a race, you want to see her run that race as hard as she can. And whether she finishes 10th, or first, you love her the same. What you really, really love is the pleasure of her effort. You love the pleasure of her effort. And when they put the ribbons on her and on him and the trophies and they shroud him in trophies, you're cheering for that. When your son gets a job at Chick-fil-A or Taco John's or Taco Bell, God have mercy, and they get a notch up from minimum wage and earn an extra dollar an hour and get promoted to, you know, Taco Supreme Nacho Guy or something, your heart rejoices in that. Raise your hand or give or press the little love buttons if you know what I'm talking about. There is a deep sense of joy, or Cole, you have a brand new newborn. When you start to hear that baby speak, your joy is going to be so full. And here's the big kicker. The key to becoming prosperous among them is understanding that God takes pleasure. It's a pleasurable condition. And any time you doubt it, I want you to think of your own child. And if you don't have children, think if you're an auntie or an uncle or something like that. When you see one of your kids come home with a great report card or an improved report card, or they make great decisions, your heart almost glows. This is what Psalm 35:27 is speaking of. May they always say, "The Lord be exalted who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Now, for many of us, depending on the upbringing, depending on a lot of religious conditioning, depending on your associations, what Uncle Bob thinks, what Auntie Nellie thinks, what Pastor Dave thinks, what your parents thought, what your cousin thought. Listening to 10 minutes of me sharing this is not building a strong enough neural pathway for you to get this into your cellular system. This is the type of stuff and the type of information you want to saturate in. And you can saturate in God's Word, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms in particular. And you can saturate and eat that stuff like bread until it clicks. Until it clicks that he takes total, unabashed, unreserved joy and pleasure in your prosperity. The book you are writing, you think he wants that to fail? He loves to see it succeed. And more than seeing it succeed, he wants you to give the effort of someone who succeeds. Because if you give the effort and you give the labor, success is symptomatic. So I don't think he necessarily just drops the money in your hand, drops the best-selling status. I think all of that is symptomatic. There's favor involved, of course, throughout it all. But it's a symptom of devoted, concentrated labor. Okay, raise your hand if you've got some value from that on the webinar. And send me some love or give me a little thumbs up if you got good stuff so far. That's number one. We're going to go on to number two, which is even more powerful. It's a little more in depth. It's a little more sensitive. It's a little more touchy. Okay, so we got some love over here. So number one is to believe in divinely powered prosperity. It's so clutch. It's so critical. When you believe that God wants your family to prosper generationally, it will reorientate your financial plan. There's so much that happens when this gets into your heart. You think you have a problem with procrastination? It's probably more of a problem with belief. All right. But remember, he takes pleasure, unremitting pleasure, in the prosperity of his servant. And that's his servant, so we're working for a higher purpose. All right. Number two. For me, dusting off the divine image. Now, nobody is perfect. Could I say a more cliche thing? Of course not. This is Proverbs 28:13 out of the Solomon Wisdom world. Hey, Steve, Teddy, thank you. Mark, thank you for those words. Christy, it's great to see you. Yvonne, good to see you. Mahmood, my man, I'm honored. Amber Roskins, I was just thinking of you guys the other day. But to dust off your divine image, whoever hides their sins will not prosper. Whoever confesses them will obtain mercy. So last night, now the word sin is just not in vogue anymore. it's not a popular word, probably never has been, but sin comes from Latin sin, which is minus, which really means less than the best. Whoever hides their less than the best actions will not prosper. That's what sin is. So sin comes across, we say sin. But what it means is less than the best. You want to look at the word repent? The idea of pent is the very top. That's where we get the idea of penthouse. So when we repent, we restore ourselves to the top. We restore ourselves to who we were made to be. This repentance stuff is not dust and ashes and necessarily tearing your shirts off, crying in ashes forever. Maybe it is for 20 minutes. But that process restores you to the penthouse. And we stop doing less than the best. It means missing the mark in Hebrew. Raise your hand if this is good. This isn't redefining sin. This is telling what it is. It's less than the best. So it says, whoever hides their sin doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses them obtains mercy, which is a key part of prosperity. Because what good? The idea of prosperity is shalom. It's a comprehensive head-to-toe peace. Expanded further, it means societal peace, national peace, neighborhood peace, household peace, peace within yourself, peace within your marriage, peace within your relationships. It is a comprehensive, all-incorporating shalom. Carla, thank you. Sarah, it's good to see you. Teresa. Yeah, if some of you guys want to tell your buddies, I'm hot today. I got 1.5 left of these. But last night, let me give you an example. Last night, we had probably the tensest house our house has felt. You know, I got 4 kids, a dog, a wife. We had Shannon's cousin or Shannon's sister up, and one of her kids, and we have endless company. It's a Grand Central Station around here in terms of entertaining, and we enjoy that. But it all kind of just built to a head, and I was really being a dick to my kids, particularly Gracie and Isaac, my oldest. It was very hard on them. I was doing a lot of comparison, like when I was your age, and not like there's any real value in doing that, but I was just being very hard on them. And it didn't feel good. You know, it didn't feel good. And I could have just packed that away and said, well, you know, whatever, it was an off night for the family. Whatever. A lot of discipline, a lot of chaos. It reminded me of like hell. It was just terrible. And I told Grace and Isaac, well, I talked to Isaac and I said, Isaac, I want you to know that I am nowhere near the father I want to be. I'm not even the iceberg tip of the father you deserve, and you have me. I want to do a better job. I was way too hard on you. You're a good kid. We have so much fun together. You're so gifted in so many ways. And I apologize for just being a dick. Now, Gracie I was just hard on her. Now, I'm not saying I'm hard on my kids. We got standards around here. And keeping that standard and that guitar string tight and strung in the right chord is a constant job. If you play guitar all day, your guitar automatically goes out of tune, and so does your family, if you're not keeping the standard reminded, if you're not tuning the guitar every day, every other day, the guitar, the piano, it goes out of tune. And so you don't get to just say, hey, I love you, and that's it. You got to tune it again. The kids have to hear the tune, so that's the most common song in their childhood. I love you, I believe in you. Raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying. Everything is by repetition and the washing. The New Testament says that you renew your mind through the washing of the word. It's like a shower. You took one shower a year, you're just a beast. Like a grizzly. But we continually shower and we should continually wash. And it's, you know, it's a Friday morning and I admire everybody here taking in this kind of content early in the morning. But here's the thing. I didn't hide my sin from the kids. So what I did with Gracie was we disciplined her, and then I said, you know, stay up here. And I barely have use of my legs right now. I'm recovering from 2 spine surgeries. And I'm about 6 months into it. I have to use a walker. We have 2 Orioles that are so amazing. And they fly right to our window because we bait them with jelly and oranges. So we wake up to the brightest Orioles every day, and there's a pair of them, and they're beautiful. Anyway, we got birds everywhere. You got bird feeders. We're like bird psychos. Anyway, what I did with Grace was I said, just stay up here a little bit, and we watched a little bit of TV. Luxury tiny house, and we were looking at people in San Francisco who were getting $800,000 condos that were 700 square feet. And we were like, holy crap. Well, anyway, so we got talking about lifestyle choices, and I said, well, you know, some people value the culture and living with that, those kind of restaurants and those kind of ocean and everything, the wine countries there, and they value that more than their living space. And it's just a perspective on life. It's not right or wrong or anything. Plus, you make a lot more money out there. So it was fun. Then I said, let's go for a walk in the backyard with Eve. So it was slightly windy, so Grace and I start walking out there. And it was like mosquito tornado. And they were killing me, like welts, and I hate mosquitoes. I don't know anyone that likes them. But anyway, we're going for a little walk out there, and we're getting devoured. I'm like, oh, Gracie, I wanted this to be like a father-daughter bonding thing, and we all heal up, and this is like the worst moment of my summer. And she's like, Dad, I know this is awful, but I can only walk like 3 miles an hour. So we're slowly walking back and getting just devoured by mosquitoes. We come back. She shows me some stuff in her room. We come upstairs. She lays by me, head by me, arm by me. Everything's restored. Here's my point. How do you unhide your sin? It's usually through an action and a restoration with the person you offended. It's usually not a private, oh God, I'm sorry, against you and only you have I sinned. That's what King David said, and that's true. He is the ultimate source, but there's also a restitution on earth. And how you unhide from the less than the best is you then give the person that you took the best effort from, and you took it away from them, and you give the best effort back. Do you see this? You give the best effort back. That's how you unhide the sin. That's how you unhide the mistake. So you don't just grovel. I didn't go to my kids groveling and saying, oh, I'm unworthy and I'm a piece of shit. And, you know, you deserve a better dad. And I always screw up. And here I am again. I've apologized before, but here I did it again. I don't blame you if you don't trust me. No. You give them back your best. So whoever hides their sin will not prosper. But here's the thing. I felt so good at the end of that night that I cried. I mean, I literally cried. And it was my heart-breathing relief that once again, these verses have such magic, not magic, but they have such supernatural power to save relationships, to save families, to save businesses, to empower, to inspire. And then we watched the Robert Schuller documentary on A&E, which you can watch on YouTube for free. Epically inspiring, whether you like The Hour of Power, Robert Schuller, or not. I'm probably going to host, actually I am, going to be hosting an event at the Crystal Cathedral itself. It'll be in a side room at the Crystal Cathedral. But it will be for my Solomon Foundation, which we just got legal. It's a 501(c). It's designed to bring ancient Solomon wisdom and biblical wisdom into America in a refreshed, or really into the world, but in a really refreshed way. And I believe it's really my biggest calling. I don't think has ever been to be a businessman. I think I was a businessman to learn the world. But I really think I am to teach the principles of business through King Solomon's wisdom. That's what I think. Well, that's what I hear, and that's when I'm happiest and stuff like that. So we got the so I'll be doing that. But anyway, we just had a magical night, and my heart breathed so deep at that end of that night. And it's so much easier to work when you're not stressed out about a tense relationship. Wouldn't you agree, if you and your wife are in just hot anti-fight stuff, you guys are in a big fight, it's hard to get up and kick ass. It's just hard. Raise your hand on the webinar if you get what I'm saying. If you're totally out of whack with your kids, it's hard to just find meaning in placing a Facebook ad or some stupid thing. But when there's a shalom and a unity, it's so beautiful. But here's the thing. We'll step off number two here for a second and get to number three and wrap up. But you've got to dust off the divine image. We were made in the image of God as a creator, as an author, as a scientist, as an animal caretaker. See, when he made Adam, he said, name all the animals. That's a classification. He was giving Adam authority to name things. And here's a tip, and it's a marketing tip. In Hebrew, giraffe means long neck. When Adam named the animals, he was describing their characteristics. So when you're doing a product name, think of a descriptor that is the answer. For instance, Pure Rest. You know what that is? That's got to be some kind of sleep elixir that gives you a pure rest that's chemical free. But anyway, he was a scientist in the naming. He was a architect in that he was to take the landscape of Eden and beautify it even more. And then he was given dominion and charge to, once he had that area accomplished, him and his children were to extend out and beautify and flourish and discover wines and how to use and tap into the alchemies of the earth. And so he was not just a scientist, he was a variety of scientists. And one of the first things he did when he saw Eve is he wrote her a poem in Hebrew. So we were meant to be romantic and lovers. But this is our divine image. We weren't meant to just work. This isn't Japan. We were meant to be lovers. We were meant to be creators, authorities. We were made for family. We were made for nature. We were made for all this stuff. So when we recover and start restoring our divine image, which begins with confession and repentance, we're on our way back to that powerful release of creativity. Give me a thumbs up if you got value from number two. Value from number two. Cousin Donna's watching. Donna, I don't know if you know, I can see that you came on. Donna, I love you. I miss you so much, sister. Nothing like Donna. If you guys could just meet some of my family members, it's like watching an episode of Roseanne half the time, but it's pretty fun. All right, so Chris, thanks for the love over here. Lobos, Lee, Melissa, a lot of love over here. Thank you, guys. Nick, Sharon. Hey, Sharon, it's great to see you, sweetie. Apple, I love your guys' support. I was so excited about this morning. I feel life kind of coming back into me. You know, I had a hemoglobin of 3 a year ago. 3. You're dead at 2, guaranteed mortality. The average hemoglobin's around 14. But I was so excited to start Friday with you guys today. So thanks for being here. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of Solomon Foundation stuff, and I'll have more info on that coming up. We got some really cool stuff, some stuff I've never seen done. I stole a lot of it from Schuller. You know, Schuller built the Crystal Cathedral by having, you know, the big... Raise your hand or give me a like if you know what the Crystal Cathedral is. It's right by Disneyland, actually. They were built about the same time in California, and it's just an all glass cathedral. Catholic Church took it over now, so it's a cathedral for the Catholics. But I was there since the transformation, and they did kind of take away some of the highlights and waterfalls, and it's a little less happy than it was, but it was very nice. I sat in on some stuff. It was cool. But he sold per pane of glass for $500 per person and let and put their name etched in the glass forever. So he built that one pane of glass at a time. And then when you walk the campus of Crystal Cathedral, every brick has a favorite Bible verse and the name of the donor that gave X amount of money. He was an absolute master at bringing people together. And there's so much to learn there. But dusting off the divine image is number two. Whoever hides their sins will not prosper. And here, just think of it logically. If you're sitting there burdened with guilt, you have relationship drama on every side, and you make a bunch of money, you're not prospering. That money might as well be a bowl of gravel. It'll buy you a little high for a second, but come on. That is not prosperity. That is not the prosperity I speak of. I speak of shalom. This is a Hebrew concept. But we don't know that word, so I use prosperity. All right, number three and final. Thank you for all that love, who has ever given me all that love over there. Number three, and this is colossal. Realize we have one ultimate client. We have one ultimate partner. And if you discover the love thy neighbor nature of your work, and you aim to please that one client, the superior client, others will automatically admire the work. Let's say Chef Gordon Ramsay was going to come over to your house for a meal. Okay, he's a famous psycho chef. And let's say you liked him. You would probably give it your very best effort to make that meal special and excellent because he's a king in terms of the chef world. You'd want to impress him, right? You'd want something special to be done. I've shared the story with Matt Shetler many times. My car was getting repaired. And I said, Matt, I need a ride to go get my caddy. And he just disappears from the house. He was at my house. He was driving a Saturn, like a 1990 Saturn. He was driving a Mercedes about a year after meeting me. But anyway, he races out to his car, but I didn't know that. And I ask Isaac, I say, where's Matt? And he goes, I don't know. He just took a bag and ran outside as soon as you said you needed a ride to get your car. And I went out there and I saw him heaving garbage and, you know, Jack in the Box and McDonald's and all this crap, all this garbage, and doing this to the seats because there's crumbs and receipts and everything all over the place. And I say, Matt, I'm honored that you clean your car for me. But I said, why do you respect me more than you respect yourself? Why do you respect me more than you respect you? You know I would never drive in a car like that, that dirty. When I had a $1,200 Nissan and I was building my business, I didn't have time to go car shopping, and I had made $1 million and I drove a $1,200 car and I had crossed the $1 million mark. And I'm still driving a $1,200 car. with an enormous dent in it on the side, in the passenger side. And I would take it to the showroom, the guy that gets at the car dealership who prepares cars before they, the used cars before they go back on the lot. And I would spend $300 on a $1,200 car for it to be cleaned, showroom ready. And then my next car was an Escalade that I paid cash for. But my point is, I began respecting myself. And as soon as I began respecting myself, I noticed I began respecting others. You will not respect others more than yourself. Or you may, but you're going to do a hell of a lot better job if you respect yourself. Because if you do unto others as you would have done unto you, and you don't think you're worth it, you're not going to do shit for others. Everything is going to be good enough. If you don't take a high, God-driven vision of your divine nature and your place in God's kingdom as a priest, as a king, as a queen, as a daughter, as a son, and you think of yourself low, you can even obey, do unto others as you'd have done unto yourself, and you will do them very little, because you do yourself very little. Give me a thumbs up if this is vibing with anybody. Because this is the fact. So here's what I'm saying. If you make God and you work and pretend, just pretend, even though it's real, that you offer your work to God. Look, here it is. Here it is. Your standard of work will lift. Your standard for living will lift. And do you see a man who is diligent in his business? He will serve the kings, not the obscure people. That's another Solomon wisdom. But when you serve the kings, they spread your name. They refer you powerfully. See, my mom and I had a philosophical talk the other day. And I said, you know, Mom, it's really not the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I get it. But I'm a little bit of a literalist, and I think it should really be, it's not who you know, it's who knows you and respects you. I mean, you can know people, it doesn't matter if they don't vouch for you. I know hundreds of people I wouldn't vouch for. Yeah, I'd only vouch for a few of them, depending on the area of expertise. So it's not who you know. So don't kid yourself on networking. Glad handing, shaking hands. Don't get lost in that. There's a place for that. Did I really just make that face and do that? That looked so dumb. Anyway, it's really not that. How you move people, how you capture people's attention is excellent work. Excellent work. So Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. D.L. Moody, who founded D.L. Moody Bible College in Chicago. He said, if God be your partner, make big plans. And so, for a divine refresh, commit to the Lord whatever you do. In Hebrew, the word commit, if you were to dramatize it, it would be like a carpet or a rug that's rolled up tight, and you unroll it, shake it out, and expose all of it to the Lord. This is what I want to do. Then he joined, apparently, I'm just describing this oracle as best I can, according to the original Hebrew. You roll out everything you plan on doing, and then he will establish your plans. And then I think there's a synergy with his mind and with your mind. There's a synergy that comes together, and the chess match starts being played, and an arrangement of ideas start forming. And that's where some of your best ideas would come, with divine help. And so rarely do I ask for it, it's a shame. But I have asked for divine help over and over and over. And it's not a formula to get what you want. It's a formula to commit to the Lord so you can offer that finished product back and say, see what I did? See what we did? See what you helped me do? And then as that idea takes off, as it prospers, he takes delight. Remember, the divine refresh, cellularly, it has to go deep in you that you believe at a cellular level that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And that when people see you prosper, they will listen to you more. If you invite them to church, they're far more likely to go. If you have an idea, they're far more likely to listen. And it's not because you have money. It's because that's a symptom. It's because you deserve, because you did the skills, and you have the know-how and the wisdom, and your ideas are proven in the world, not in some ethereal spiritual world, but the real world. And what's the purpose? That the Lord may be exalted through our lives, through your life, through my life. All right, well, that is the party. So, thanks for popping on. Great interaction over here on whatever this channel is. Great interaction over here. If you want info on our new, let me just go into a commercial real quick. We are relaunching our Total Lifestyle Alliance, which pays $2,000 a sale and has a suite of my products. If you got value today and you're thirsty for more, I have hours and hours and hours, and that's the saturating element. It goes proverb by proverb by proverb. And some say it's the best prosperity course in the world. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to say it's not. But if you're interested in our new offer and our new coming out party, I'll be doing a mastermind in the next 2 months at some beautiful mansion, probably in Colorado. If you're interested in some of that stuff, just put TLA, TLA in the comments below. And my wife and I will get back to you and just kind of share a website. We're not going to get back and try to close you because it's too tiring. But a website will explain it to you what we do. But we are ready for more partners. I'm ready to serve more people than I've ever served.